Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A Fairbanks man died over the weekend in an all-terrain vehicle accident near the Goodpaster River. Alaska State Troopers say they received a report around 7:30 Saturday night that 47-year-old Brian Imus of Fairbanks was fatally injured when he rolled an ATV along a riverbank northeast of Delta Junction. Imus was well known in the community, and a memorial page for him says an account to accept donations for his wife and children is being set up. The University of Alaska Fairbanks is offering counseling services after a student committed suicide on campus. A UAF announcement says the Student Health and Counseling Center will have counselors available today through Thursday. Ross Halliday, a geological engineering student, jumped from the Greening Building, and his body was found with a suicide note before 10 a.m. Friday. University spokesman Jeff Richardson says Halliday accessed an emergency exit on the 8th floor.
On the west side, there is kind of a little alcove that you can access via an emergency exit. And it appears that he jumped from that alcove.
The Greening Building, located on the east side of campus, houses classrooms and offices for UAF's College of Liberal Arts. It's forecast to remain hot across the interior through midweek. National Weather Service meteorologist Aaron Billings says several temperature records were broken or matched yesterday.
We reached 89 degrees in Nenana, breaking the old record of 86 set in 1968. Delta Junction was 86, which broke the previous record of 84 set in 1968. Northway was 85 yesterday, breaking the old record of 83 set in 1990. And Fairbanks hit 88 degrees, which tied the old record set in 1968.
Billings says high pressure over the region is expected to persist through Wednesday with 80-plus degree highs. Hot, dry conditions are increasing wildfire potential. A state forestry crew responded to two small grass fires in the Copper River area yesterday. The human-caused blazes burned under an acre along the Edgerton Highway before being contained. A much larger lightning-caused fire burning since early June has been restaffed after showing growth over the weekend. An Alaska Interagency Coordination Center report says smoke jumpers were deployed on the Zitsiana River fire. The over 37,000-acre blaze about 50 miles northwest of Nenana became active on its south side, advancing southwest toward Kindamina Lake. Eight smoke jumpers are doing point protection. Governor Bill Walker signed a bill in Fairbanks Friday that changes the way penalties for causing wildfires can be imposed. As KUAC's Robin reports, House Bill 355 gives forestry officials the power to impose simple fines and bail on people who start fires instead of an expensive and lengthy criminal court process.
House Bill 355 was sponsored by outgoing Representative David Guttenberg of Fairbanks. At the bill signing ceremony, he complimented the two fire crews who stood at attention on the forestry helipad next to the Chena River.
I came up to Fairbanks in 1969 to fight forest fires. So when the governor and his staff came and said, would I carry this bill for you? It was more than a privilege because it's about you guys, the people on the fire that are in the face of the dangers.
Formerly, starting a wildfire was considered a misdemeanor in Alaska, with some jail time and fines up to $1,000. But it required fire agencies to ask prosecutors to take up a criminal case and schedule it before a judge. The new law is designed to save time and money. It lets Department of Forestry personnel issue citations, sort of like a speeding ticket. Governor Bill Walker says the update is overdue.
Most of our legislation on firefighting was 1961. So a lot has happened between 61 and 2018 on laws and regulations associated with firefighting. So this updated it finally, and we appreciate that very much.
Chris Meach, Alaska's state forester, says the new law gives forestry a greater range of tools for fire prevention.
Our average amount of acreage burned each year in Alaska is between 1.2 and 800,000 acres, but the number of human-caused wildfires in the state of Alaska is not coming down. And over the last 3 years in our service area, we've had 680 fires caused by human ignitions.
Meach says the law has a bail schedule and a tiered enforcement plan, like how fish and game violations are processed now. It will allow citations to be resolved without a suspect's going to court.
One of the key points of this legislation is to give us a range of tools and, more importantly, to launch a really aggressive education program to help the public understand how to live with fire and how to be safe with fire in Alaska.
The new law goes into effect in 2019. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
Climbing season wrapped up on Denali earlier this month, and National Park Service rangers are calling the season a success. KTNA's Philip Manning reports.
For the first time in 15 years, there were no fatalities on North America's highest peak. South District Ranger Tucker Chenoweth says no matter how much education and other efforts the National Park Service makes, plain old luck plays a major role in ensuring no climbers die on the mountain.
Based on some of the accidents that were near misses, I think those could have easily gone the other way.
The most notable of those near misses was when Polish newlyweds fell during their climb, sliding over 700 feet before coming to rest on the Peters Glacier. Even though other teams saw the climbers fall, it took time for conditions to improve enough for rescuers to reach them. Ranger Dave Weber says the urge to rush out and help someone has to be tempered with patience to ensure that the rescuers themselves will be as safe as possible.
Those are really tough times to have to feel like you're sitting back and waiting, but knowing the greatest good for that patient is for us to show up with a capable team and not to get any of us hurt.
Weber says rescue efforts and techniques have improved in recent years, and that coordination with first responders outside of the Alaska Range gives injured climbers a much better chance at recovery. For instance, he says there's an advanced frostbite treatment center in the lower 48, but the treatment has to begin within 24 hours of the wounded area thawing. With coordination, Weber says one person this year was able to reach the treatment center in time.
Froze all 10 fingers, all 10 toes, and parts of his face up at high camp, and we were able to get him all the way to Salt Lake City to that treatment within 18 hours, thanks to coordination with both LifeMed and Mat-Su Regional Hospital.
Other common medical issues on Denali come from spending time at high elevations. Long periods at high altitudes can lead to pulmonary edemas and other potentially life-threatening issues. This year, all of the mountaineering staff is grateful that none of those led to fatalities. In Talkeetna, I'm Philip Manning.
And I'm Dan Bross.